Please bow with me. To the great God of heaven, we humbly come to you this evening, thankful for this other opportunity of life that you have given us. Lord, we are thankful for this day and as many blessings. We are thankful, Lord, that you have granted us another opportunity to be able to declare unto our listeners this evening your divine word of truth about your son, Jesus Christ, his love for us that he shed through his precious blood on Calvary and the empty sepulcher in which he raised him from the grave. We are thankful, Lord, for the Church of Christ, for the only church that you have authorized. We are thankful for the saving power of the message. We are thankful, Lord, for your grace and for your mercy you continue to bestow upon us. We pray for Brother Franson this evening, Lord, that you be with him. Help him, Lord, to be able to teach your word in such a way that is bold, that is pure, and that it is unadulterated, that someone may step out this evening and you bless us with the increase. We pray, Lord, that you continue to bless us with this nationwide gospel evangelistic effort. In your son's name we pray.
Thank you, Brother Flunder, and thanks to everyone who's on the call. We want to say a special welcome to those who are not members of the Church of Christ. I'm Brother Tommy Brooks, the host minister of this nationwide gospel meeting call, minister of the Church of Christ at Hollow Heights in Houston, Texas. We're very thankful to have each and every person on the call tonight, and we want those who are on the call that are not members of the Church of Christ to please take your Bible, open it up, study along with you, with us, because we put this call on with you in mind. We believe in the churches of Christ that the Bible has absolute authority. It has the final answer and the correct answer as it pertains to what one must do to save their soul. What makes us different in the Church of Christ? We believe in the absolute truth according to the Scripture. And so with that in mind, we want you to study with us. Think about your soul salvation. Listen to the message tonight and think about, if you were to die, do you understand the wages of sin? Brother Nathan Franson will speak to us tonight. Brother Franson, I'm so thankful he agreed to speak with us. He's the minister of the Mariposa Avenue Church of Christ in Citrus Heights, California. And tonight he will speak to us from that subject, topic about the truth about the wages of sin. Brother Franson, will you help us with that? Tell us, what is the truth? Brother Franson.
Thank you. No, it's certainly an honor to be with you tonight, and certainly we want to give God all the glory. We strive to keep the Bible and the Bible only as the authority in all things. And so if we can remember that, and if we can make sure that we give the attention that is needed to the Bible, I don't think that there's a person that cannot be changed. I believe that every person is teachable, including myself, and I came out of a different background than what I'm in now, and certainly that has everything to do with the Scriptures. And so if we can keep that in mind, we certainly will be able to give the truth the attention that it deserves and have it change us. As was mentioned, we are looking at the truth about the wages of sin. I want you to consider, first off, this has been a really trying time over the last few months here, and consider just everything that we've gone through with the fear and the uncertainty over the last few months, as our nation has had to adjust our lives because of this pandemic. And this is certainly something that has affected a lot of families. It has affected a lot of lives. It has caused great devastation in families. I mean, those who have lost loved ones to this COVID virus is we can talk as much as we want about one side or the other, the numbers, and whether or not we think that it's, people are over-dramatizing it or under-dramatizing it, that's irrelevant. If you've lost a family member to something like this, it is going to be devastating, and none of those conversations mean anything to a family that has actually lost someone to this. And that is where I want to really kind of set the groundwork for this tonight, because this virus that has just taken hold of not just this country but everywhere else is really caused a lot of issues. There is a spiritual pandemic that is far worse and with far greater consequences and a condition than this, this virus ever will be. And it's far scarier. And this pandemic is called sin. And what is scary about it is that there is no one that is exempt from sin. There is no one who is immune from sin. And every person has it in them to, you know, to take on this thing called sin in our lives. And the results of this are far more costly than the COVID virus ever could be. If you look over in 1 John chapter 3 and verse 4, we get an idea of what sin is. We hear this talked about so often. I mean, this is a word that is, you know, really thrown around in the religious world, and the secular world uses this word, and so we hear sin used so frequently, but really, what is it? And you know, and why is it such a serious word when it comes to our salvation? Well, when you look at 1 John 3 and 4, John writes that sin is the transgression of the law, or it's in another translation it says it is lawlessness. Well, when you look at this, that sin is the transgression of the law, what this implies is that there is a law in place. And this law that is in place is something that has been given to us from of a divine nature. It is God that has breathed his word. It is God that has given us this revealed word. And how amazing it is that we have this revealed word in our possessions today, that we can open the Bible and know the mind of God. You know, everyone wants to think, you know, what does God think? And what's his personality? And what's he like? And we don't have to go any further than his scriptures to find out who he is. And what an amazing thing that is, to, you know, that we can get to know God on a personal level. Now, we'll never comprehend the power that he has. We'll never understand fully just really how all-knowing and all-powerful, but we can get to know him and know his mind and know how much he cares through the word that he has revealed to us. And as we look at what the law is, as John mentions right here, there is a law that is in place. And if we can get to know what that law is, and all we have to do is look no further than the Bible, that's going to give it to us. Because this is, you know, and it's important to really kind of keep that at the center of everything that we do and every study that we have, every discussion that we have, that if I want to go to heaven, I have the task of knowing what that law is. And I'm thankful to God every day that he has not overcomplicated it. In fact, it is a simple law. Once you start to read, it is not one that he holds over our heads. In fact, God wants that relationship with us. And he has given us this word that is so easy to understand and so easy to comprehend if we just trust it and not overthink it and not add any of my words or my personal thoughts into it. If you don't add your personal thoughts into it, but just see what does, you know, look at what God has to say. Look at what the Bible has to say. And it's important that we do that. And especially as we start thinking about the life after this one, because we are going to die. There's a point in this life that we are going to take that last breath. There's a point in this life, and we have no idea when that is, when we're going to close our eyes for the last time. And if you've lost someone who is close to you, a family member, a friend, I remember losing one of my closest friends this past year because of cancer. And if you've ever lost someone like that, or a loved one, a spouse, or a child, or a parent, you know just how what a deep emotional scar that can leave. And it is a scar that really never heals. You can get through it, you can move on as far as going to the next phase of your life, but you'll never, ever get past that scar that has been left. And there's going to be a point in this life when we're going to take that last breath. Someone's going to mourn for us. Someone's going to grieve our loss. But when we take that last breath, what happens then? It's always sobering, and in a way, it's depressing to me when I start. You know, I've talked to atheists, and those of the atheistic mindset, it's so sad to see just how empty that life is. Because the only hope for someone who does not believe in God is that they're right. You think about that. The only hope that they have is that we close our eyes and there is nothing. Consciousness is gone. Every bit of our world, everything that we know, everything that we understand is gone, if atheism is correct. But if it's not, and the Bible is what it says it is, and I firmly believe that it is, then there is a life after this one. and it is going to put us in one of two places, and it's going to be contingent on what we do in this life. Friends, the results of this spiritual pandemic called sin are far more costly than we will ever have in for anything in this life. You look at Romans chapter 6 and verse 23. This is really the thrust of what we're going to be looking at tonight. Paul sets this up, and he says, the wages of sin is death. That is a scary thing to think about. And when you look at the wages of sin, that word wages is what is due to you. When we have, you know, we work for our wages, and the wages is, we are paid based on what we do. And that is what Paul is talking about right here. There is something that is coming for us, and it's going to be good or it's going to be bad, but it nonetheless, it's going to be based on the decision that we make. He says the wages of sin, this is, and like a pandemic, sin does not announce itself as sin. There, sin does not have a label on it, and that is one of the, and that's the hardest thing to really kind of understand about this, because we can fall into sin without even realizing it. I don't have to be conscious and say I don't want to know the Bible to be in sin. There are Christians that are living in sin and don't realize it sometimes. Sin has identifying marks with it. In fact, it's, sin is not, and with these identifying marks, there is nothing that we can do in this life, by the way, that is not visible to God. I can hide certain things I do in my life from other people. I can hide things from my friends. I can even hide things from my wife if I wanted to. But we will never hide them from God. In fact, if you look at Psalm chapter 90 and verse 8, the psalmist writes that you have set our iniquities before you and our secret sins in the light of your countenance. That's profound to think about that, because it doesn't matter what I do in this life, no matter what I do, no matter what decisions I make, even in private, God knows my heart, and God knows what I am doing with that. It's interesting, living here in California, I'm not sure how many of you are from California or might be listening that have lived in California before, but my wife and I lived in Southern California for a number of years, and I remember being down there watching TV almost every other day. There was this high-speed chase, and it was, to us, it was entertaining. I mean, that's what people just kind of did. You turn on the TV, and you just see this, the high-speed chase down one of the freeways, whether it's the 101 or the 5, whatever it is, and there was there were all those helicopters flying overhead, and the news crews were out, just tailing these cars that are being driven. And I always thought how absurd that is for someone to be running from the police like that in a high speed chase, thinking that they're actually going to get away with that, knowing that the news crews were out and knowing that they were being pursued and knowing that there was news crews and other people ahead of them. And it just staggered me why they would even run when everyone obviously can see who they are and what their car looks like. And, we knew they were never going to get away. You just kind of wait and see what happens. That's what it's like. There's, no matter what we do, We can convince ourselves and fool ourselves that we're doing something that is okay, or that we're going to get away with it. But friends, God is never going to be naive enough to our sin. He's going to see it. We can run, but we cannot hide from God. He knows our sin. And Paul goes on with this. He says, "The wages of sin is death." That word death, it's the Greek word thanatos, and it literally is defined as a spiritual death, and it's in respect to the forfeiture. When you look at the definition of this word, it is in respect to a forfeiture of salvation. Why in the world would you ever want to forfeit your salvation? Why would you do something consciously? Why would you, why would you stake your entire life here to forfeit the next life of eternity? The first sin brought physical death. When we look back at, in the garden, we can see this all the way back in the Genesis account, that the first sin brought physical death. That was the sin that ushered in, you know, when Adam and Eve left and they were departed from the tree of life, it meant that death was now going to be existent in the world, and we saw that come into it. But how sobering it is to think that if we die now in sin, we face a spiritual death. In Romans chapter 5 and verse 12, Paul writes, "Therefore, just as though one man's sin entered the world, death through sin, and thus death spread to all men because all sinned." I cannot pound home and stress enough just how important and how life-altering, how horrible, how vile sin is to God. You know, we've heard the expression before, to hate the sin and not the sinner, and that's because of what sin is capable of doing. There is a spiritual sickness in the world, and it is causing an eternity of imaginable suffering. I can't fathom a family member that has died outside of Christ. I can't even begin to try to think and imagine those who have been lost, those who have rejected Christ, those who have rejected His Word. That's a scary thing to think about. Think about your life right now, and if your life ended. Think about everything that you are doing in your life right now, no matter where you are, no matter what the decisions that you've made, something that you might be wrapped up in right now. That's going to have a bearing on the next life. We will take that last breath. Why would anyone choose, knowing that there is a way to stop it? Why would we ever choose anything that could jeopardize my relationship with God? Why would we ever choose anything that could put my soul in jeopardy in the next life? Because that is going to be forever. We don't, I think sometimes we think we are so short-sighted and that we think, what is going to satisfy me in this life? What in this world is going to give me what I want right now? And we don't think long-term. But I want you to think of that family member. And I want you to keep them in your mind and think, where are they now? What did they do? And what can I do? And if they were to come back right now, what do you think they would tell us? No matter who they are, no matter where they are. As we look at the wages of sin and how the wages of sin is death, it is important, it is imperative to look at sin, how God looks at it. Folks, if sin gives you an eternity in hell, it must be a horrible crime to God. There is no one that hates sin more than God. In fact, it was enough for that He had His Son go to the cross and die and shed that blood so that sin can be taken care of. That is how costly sin is. There was no one who could take care of sin except for Christ. That is the power that sin has on us. When you look back at Isaiah chapter 59, it really kind of puts this into perspective. In Isaiah chapter 59, beginning in verse 1, Isaiah writes, "Behold, the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor his ear heavy that it cannot hear. But your iniquities have separated you from your God, and your sins have hidden his face from you so that he will not hear." That is, what a serious thing that is right there. But it goes to show us that, there's an interesting discussion, I think, that people sometimes have, and a misunderstanding, certainly, of God. Because I've heard people say in the religious world that, God, the God of the Old Testament is not the God of the New Testament. The God of the Old Testament is this is full of wrath, and he's just angry, and he wants to bring down all kinds of destruction and punishment on his people, and that God of the New Testament is just full of love, and he's just caring, and he's just accepting of everyone, and and it's almost like there are two different persons that are being described right there. And folks, that could not be further from the truth. When you look at Isaiah chapter 59, how the Lord's hand is not shortened that it cannot save, nor is ear heavy that it cannot hear. God wants to hear. God wants to be in our lives. And how many times did he tell his people, these Jews, in the Old Testament, that if they obey him, that he will bless them, and he will bless their children, and he will bless the land that they would come to possess. But there are consequences if they didn't. And when you look at verse 2, it says, your iniquities, your sins, the things that you have done to violate what God has commanded, have separated you from your God. That is the power that sin has right there. If I die in my sin, I'm going to be separated from my God. I can't think of a more horrific way to spend eternity. And the worst part about all of this is, think of the hindsight. When I leave this life, if I do not have that relationship with Christ, I'm going to have to look back at every moment through all eternity and say to myself that it could have been another way. I could have done things differently. I could have made different decisions. I could have accepted Christ. I could have been baptized the way the Bible says. I could have had been added to his church, the only church that we read about in the New Testament. I cannot think of a more horrific way to spend forever. You know, it's interesting. There's a preacher named V.P. Black who really put eternity into perspective when he said that, you know, if we were there for only 100 million years, at least at 50 million, we could say we're halfway done. Heaven and hell are forever. And what I do right now, how I handle the sin that might be in my life right now, is going to have a bearing on where I spend eternity. When I take that last breath, when I close my eyes for the last time, I've sealed my fate. There will not be anything more that can be done. I will not be able to look back and just ask for one more moment, one more day to try to take care of something that I could have taken care of in this life. If you're listening tonight, I want to encourage you to take care of whatever might be in your life that is keeping you from having a relationship with Christ. Sin is a destroyer. It's a destroyer. Can you imagine God losing you to something that you could avoid? God wants a relationship with us. And think about this. If sin is powerful enough to bring spiritual death, then we need something powerful enough to take care of it. What if there was? You know, it's interesting as we look at different viruses and so forth. Scientists use blood for vaccines. Consider that someone's blood took care of sin a long time ago. And he had you in mind, every one of you who are listening tonight, he had in mind. And he had me in mind. And he had your families in mind. He had every person in his thoughts when he went to that cross. He did something for you that no one will ever be able to do. And he only did it because he loves you and he wants that relationship with you. Romans 6:23, I want to finish this verse because this is only the first part of it that we've been talking about. Paul writes, "For the wages of sin is death." But there's also an antithesis to this. He says, "But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." You see, Christ gifted us a cure. You know, isn't it interesting? If someone was to offer you a cure for cancer or for COVID or for anything that has disrupted our lives, any sickness that has overtaken us or overtaken a family member, if there was someone who came up with a cure for that, how much would you spend for that cure? Paul says the gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus our Lord. Christ gifted us a cure to which you have access. But it's you who needs to take it. you need to take that. You need to accept Christ. You need to obey him. I need to obey him. That was my responsibility to do that. In 1 John chapter 2 and verse 1, he writes, "My little children, these things I write to you so that you may not sin. And if anyone sins, we may have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous." Imagine having God standing in your corner when you leave this life, ready to welcome you into an eternity of heavenly bliss, of a happiness that we could not even begin to comprehend in this life. Friends, I don't think we'll ever understand how glorious heaven is until we're there. But I equally realize that I will never realize how horrific hell is going to be forever. And I don't want to be there. I hope you don't want to be there. He says, we have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous. How do we get that? Paul says in Galatians 3:27, "For as many of you as were baptized into Christ, to put on Christ." That word "into" indicates that there is a place that we have to be, and that place that we have to be is in Jesus Christ. And he says that the only way that we can be in Christ, the only way that we can be, can put on Christ, is through baptism. And we know that once we are baptized, when we look at Acts chapter 2, that the Lord, upon that baptism, is going to take us and add us to his kingdom, his church. There's only one. We don't read of any other church. We don't read of a denomination in Acts chapter 2 or anywhere in the New Testament. We see one church. I want to encourage you, if you haven't found out what that church is, read the book of Acts. What a glorious book. That's what did it for me. When I was studying, when I was asking questions before I became a member of the Lord's kingdom, someone told me something once that I had that will stay with me for the rest of my life, because no one else had ever told me to do such a thing. I remember asking him about the church and about salvation, and he stopped me and he said, "Can you do me a favor before we go on?" I said, "Okay." He said, "Could you read the book of Acts?" He said, "Don't ask anyone else about it. Don't talk to anyone else about it." He said, "You sit down with it and you read it and make notes and look at how those people back then became Christians, how they were converted." Friends, that was an eye-opener for me, because no one else had ever told me to do. And I want to share that with you and urge you, read the book of Acts. Take notes at what happened there. No one wants to see you free from sin after this life more than Christ. Hang on to God's word like your life depends on it, because it does. If you are tangled in a sinful situation, it does not need to be that way. Know that there's a way out. Know that there's something that you can do, somewhere that you can turn, to take care of your life, to make sure that your life now is able to secure your eternal life after this one. This is not the end in this life. And how grateful we are to know that there is a place where there is no tears, there is no mourning, there is no grieving, and that we will be with the great prophets and those who we are able to read about in the Bible, and even loved ones who have obeyed the gospel of Christ before us. What a place that's going to be. But it requires us to do something. It requires you to do something. And if you have not been baptized, if you have not studied what it means to be baptized, if you haven't studied what the church is, you hear this mentioned, the Church of Christ, and if you're not a member of that, I want to encourage you to see what it means in the Bible and what the Bible has to say about what that church is. You owe it to yourself. You owe it to your salvation, to your eternal life. Find out what it is. I know there are some good men who are able to sit down or to discuss things with you. I would be happy to do it. I would be happy to correspond with anyone who's listening tonight to make sure that your life is complete after this one. My prayers are with you. I love you, and I know it even more that the Lord loves you and wants that relationship with you. I appreciate your time tonight, and I'll turn it back over to Brother Brooks.
Wow, my brother. I mean, the passion you had, what you said, I don't think any of us with a clear heart couldn't have thought about our own life and destiny of our souls. And the wages of sin is eternal. To our friends, our family members, co-workers, visitors who are on the call tonight that are not members of the Church of Christ, we bring men like Brother Franson on to put the emphasis on what the most precious thing you have, and that is your soul. It is obvious that everyone's going to die. But even our Lord said, sadly, only a few would find a straight and narrow way. And that way is according to what God has written in the scripture. And when Jesus gave his life for the few that would obey him to avoid the wages of sin and to accept the gift of eternal life. If you have questions tonight, you want to get baptized, you want a Bible class, email us at nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. That's nationwidegospelcall@yahoo.com. Perhaps you want to listen to this message again. I'm going to call it a message of passion. If this didn't prick your heart, I don't know what will. Go to our website at HollandHeightsCoc.net. That's HollandHeightsCoc.net. Or if you want to call me directly, you can call me at 281-750-2702. If you want to speak with Brother Franson or any of our speakers, I will get you in touch with them. Our concern is not just our souls, but all of them to hear us. We speak the truth in love in the churches of Christ. We are different. Why? Because we believe that the Bible is right. We thank you so very much for joining us tonight. Tune in tomorrow night for another powerful message from a very carefully selected speakers as we put them on our program. And the person tomorrow night is Brother Thomas Foster, who will speak about the truth about the power of the cross. This is the man I first heard the gospel from, and was my mentor and my teacher in the Houston Christian Institute, where I went to school for preaching. Following him will be Brother Glenn Colley, the truth about the seed. You don't want to miss the seed concept, because that tells you the hearts of men must receive this seed in order to be saved. And then we're going to close this week out with Brother Keith Mosier from South Haven, Mississippi. He'll talk about the truth about the precious blood of the Lamb. It's that blood that Brother Franson talked about tonight, the cure to the pandemic called sin. Let us pray. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for your blessings. Thank you for this night, Lord. We thank you for your love for the world, that you so loved us, that you gave your best, your only begotten Son. It was him that said, greater love had no man than this, that he would lay down his life for his friends. And for that, Father, we're thankful. We're thankful for the hope that we have, as long as we're in Christ and in his church. We thank you, Father, for Brother Franson. We thank you for his passion, for this message that should have touched the hearts of every listener, members and non-members, to remind all of us that one day, our head will touch the dying pillar, but we will wake up somewhere in eternity. Bless our listening audience. Bless our visitors to to receive with meekness your engrafted word, knowing it's able to save their precious souls. And it's in your Son Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you so very much for listening tonight. We pray you'll come back on tomorrow night, 9 to 9:30, to hear another word from the Lord, from the absolute truth and absolute authority in the book called the Bible. May God bless you to have a good night's rest. I don't think that's possible unless you're safe in the Lord. Good night.